Chapter 17. Edric's horse, Bright Country, was happy to carry us to the Enchanted Forest. A handsome steed, he had grace and speed worthy of a prince. His mane and tail flew like silver banners as we galloped along the dirt road that led from the castle to the village, turning toward the ancient trees as soon as we could. Although it was mid-morning when we entered the forest, it looked like dusk under the leafy canopy. The trees grew so close together that little sunlight reached the ground. We had passed through the forest only days before, but we had been frogs then and largely ignored by the magic creatures. It was different now, and we could both feel it. This time, the forest was just as aware of us as we were of it. While Bright Country picked his way over tangled roots, I looked around, half expecting to see the beckoning hand of a nymph, the watchful eye of a satyr, or the twinkle of fairy lights. Instead, I saw the roots of two trees hunching above the ground, dragging the trees closer together as their branches bent and made way for each other. The only sound was a prolonged rustle and the creak of shifting limbs. "Did you see that?" Edric whispered, his lips so close that his breath tickled my ear. "The trees really did move, didn't they? Look," I said, pointing to my left. "Those trees are doing it too." Two enormous trees lurched across the ground, leaving a space too narrow for a horse to pass. The moving trunks had thick, green-tinged bark, whip-like branches, and leaves shaped like the palm of a hand. I couldn't recall ever seeing such trees before. While we watched, other trees began to shift, blocking our way into the forest. I turned to look behind me. The only way still open was a path leading back to the road. Pulling on the reins, Edric reached down to pat his horse's neck. "We'd better stop here. I don't think Brighty can take us any farther."
"Yes, I can," said Bright Country. "I'll find a way around..."
"And the trees will move again," interrupted Edric. "Sorry, Brighty, but you need to go home. It's probably for the best anyway. I have to travel through the forest without attracting attention, and you're too big for that. We're looking for dragons, but they aren't the only beasts that live in this forest. It's even more dangerous here than we thought. So Emma should go too, Brighty. I want you to take her..."
"What do you mean, take me? I'm going with you, and you can't stop me."
Wiggling out of Edric's arms, I slid off Bright Country's back and stumbled, landing on my knees. Edric followed, slipping to the ground with the nimbleness of long practice, while I scrambled to my feet and glared at him.
"You need me and my magic to help you get that dragon's breath."
"Emma, I'm not taking you with me. I don't want to see you get hurt. I've been thinking about the dragons, and when I do find one, I don't want you anywhere around. I've fought dragons before, and you haven't. I know how dangerous it is."
"But we're not here to fight dragons."
"That doesn't mean it won't happen."
"I understand that, but look," I said, reaching into my pouch. "Lil found this sleeping potion."
I shook the small vial of blue liquid that Lil had given me.
"And she gave me a bottle to collect the dragon's breath. You don't have to worry. I'll stay out of the way if there's any fighting involved. But I'm going to do my best to see that you don't have to fight anyone. Killing a dragon isn't going to get us its breath, although magic might. I know my magic isn't perfect, but it's all we've got. I don't want to lose you any more than you want to lose me."
Edric grinned. "Then how about that kiss you owe me?"
"What kiss? I don't owe you any kiss."
"Sure you do. We're engaged to be engaged, aren't we? As far as I'm concerned, you always owe me a kiss."
Edric's lips had barely brushed mine when hot horse breath waffled my hair.
"Should I take her back or not, Your Highness?"
"I guess she's staying with me, Brighty. You'll have to go back to the castle by yourself."
We watched until Bright Country had turned onto the path and passed the more threatening trees. With his head hanging lower than his hawk's, the horse was a picture of dejection.
"He'll be fine," I said, squeezing Edric's hand.
Once his horse was out of sight,
Edric and I wriggled between trunks and climbed over roots, running when the trees began to move again. When we finally came to a more natural section of the forest that seemed to be firmly rooted, I relaxed. A flickering shadow made me hurry to catch up with Edric. Edric kept his hand on Ferdy's hilt. I knew that he didn't dare take the sword out of its scabbard until he needed it, as the enchanted weapon would sing and draw more unwanted attention. "Look for a dragon sign," said Edric. "Scorched bark, leaves brown and curled from intense heat, claw marks, things like that." As I looked, I tried to think of possible spells I could say, quick and easy ones that would work against any attacker. But it was hard to concentrate on spells while searching for dragon signs in the near dark. I was studying a suspicious patch on a tree when I heard Edric say, "What do we have here?" Suddenly, he took two steps forward and jumped into a trench I hadn't even noticed. Nearly 10 feet across, the trench appeared to be about 3 feet deep. "Stay there," he said, holding up his hand when I gathered my skirts to follow. I peered into the trench, trying to see what might have created it. Fairly uniform in width, it extended as far as I could see in both directions, but I could find no sign of its origins. "What is it?" I asked. "I'm not sure, but I think it might be." We heard the sound of approaching footsteps at the same time. Even from a distance, they made the ground shake. "Giants!" we said in unison, understanding now what had made the trench. The shaking made the trees shiver and dislodged clods of dirt from the trench's sides, showering Edric as I reached down to help him out. He grasped my hand and I leaned the other way, falling onto my back when he jumped. Scooping me up, Edric began to run. I struggled to get down, but he refused to let go. "You can't run as fast as I can, not dressed in a long skirt," he said, puffing in my ear as he carried me deeper into the forest. I was wearing my old green gown and kirtle, lighter in weight than some I owned, but the fabric was still enough to hamper my legs. We crouched behind a broad tree trunk and covered our ears. The ground throbbed beneath us, and we had to fight to keep our balance. Peering between the trunks, we saw enormous shadowy figures passing single file through the trench. Although we couldn't see much more than their legs and feet, it was enough to tell us that any one of the giants could have flattened us both without noticing. We stayed where we were, our muscles cramping, until the last giant finally moved on and the ground stopped shaking. Although my parents' castle was only a few miles away, I'd never known of the presence of so many giants in the enchanted forest. I dreaded to think of what else we might encounter. A few yards past the giant's trench, I saw a scorched tree. The bark was blackened, as was the ground around it. Edric found another a short distance away. The burned trunk was still warm. The dragon was probably nearby. We were trying to determine which direction the dragon had gone when we heard a voice screaming for help. "The dragon's caught someone," I said. With his hand on Ferdy's hilt, Edric dashed between the trees, leaping over downed trunks, while I followed as quickly as I could. The sound of Edric's footsteps led me on until they stopped suddenly and I heard a muffled oath. "What is it?" I said, hurrying to catch up. "Don't come any closer," shouted Edric. I didn't stop entirely, just slowed my pace while I studied the trees ahead. I was surprised to find Edric suspended in mid-stride, one arm raised in front of his face. "What's wrong?" I asked. And then I saw it. An enormous web glistened between two trees, ensnaring anything that tried to pass. Taller than my grandmother's cottage and broader than three of my father's most imposing knights standing with arms outspread, the web was hard to see unless a breeze moved it and the light hit it just right. A bedraggled raven flapped feebly at the top of the web, its beady eyes fixed on me.
"Fly while you still can,"
it said in its raspy voice. Edric had been caught in the end closest to me, his left arm held in place as if to ward off a blow. Only a few feet away, a flying squirrel hung suspended, its limbs spread wide for flight. Shivering uncontrollably, it made pitiful mewling sounds. The biggest surprise, however, was the creature trapped at the other end of the web. It was a young dragon, no bigger than a large dog. A pretty shade of blue, it was covered in overlapping scales and had a raised ridge running from the back of its head to the tip of its long tail. The two wings sprouting between the dragon's shoulder blades beat the air behind it, but were too entangled to free the dragon from the web. "Stay where you are," Edric told me. With the whisper of metal against metal, he pulled Ferdy from his scabbard. The sword immediately began to sing. "Why was I made into a sword? Why not a..." "Be quiet," Edric said, shaking his sword. "We don't need to tell the whole forest where we are." As if we haven't already, I thought. Ferdy took the hint. He stopped singing abruptly and began to hum. It was slightly off-key, but at least it wasn't as loud. Reaching back with his humming sword, Edric swung at the web, easily slicing through the strands. Another stroke, and his left arm was free, although tattered bits of spider silk still clung to his sleeve. Edric stepped back and hacked at the web, freeing the squirrel and the raven before moving on to the little dragon. The dragon shrieked when it saw him coming with his sword upraised. Puffing up its chest, it opened its mouth and tried to blast Edric with its flame. But the creature was young and didn't have the strength it would have as an adult. Its feeble trickle of heated smoke dispersed in the air, carried away by a light breeze. While watching Edric cut the rest of the web from around the struggling dragon, I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned my head and gasped. It was a huge black spider, its back as high as my shoulders, its legs longer than a big man's reach. "Look out!" I screamed as the spider darted forward, its mouth parts clashing. Edric whirled around with an angry shout. He hurled himself at the creature, hacking and stabbing as the spider danced back, avoiding his blade. "Thief! Scoundrel!" screamed the spider. "Just wait till I catch you. I'll wrap you in silk, bite off your head, then suck the juices from your body." The spider darted forward, swinging a hairy leg and knocking Edric to the ground. Grunting, Edric rolled to his feet with Ferdy aimed and ready. Humming louder and louder, Ferdy broke into song as Edric chopped at the living nightmare. "Take that, you nasty monster, take that, you beastly beast. You shall not hurt my master nor add him to your feast." The spider had a long reach and greater strength. Keeping its multiple eyes fixed on Edric, it quivered in anticipation. As if the sword were an extension of his arm, Edric slashed at the spider, vaulting over one reaching leg, cleaving another in two. The spider shrieked, staring at the stump of its severed limb. "Forget what I said," it shrilled. "I'll suck out the juices before I cut off your head. I want you to feel my mandibles piercing your flesh and your life slipping away." Freed from the web by Edric's efforts, the little dragon took advantage of the commotion to scurry into the forest, running with the awkward gait of a puppy. I watched it go, which was a mistake, since I should have been watching the battle. Suddenly, the spider was forcing Edric in my direction. Edric had already cut off two of the spider's legs. When he hacked off a third, the spider slowed but kept coming at him with an uneven step. Swept aside by Ferdy, the third leg flew at me like a spear, shuddering into the ground beside me. I shrieked and tried to run, tripping when my feet became tangled in my skirts. Flailing with my arms, I fell headfirst into a patch of puffball mushrooms, crushing them so that dust-like spores rose in a cloud around me. Taken by surprise, the tickling was more than I could handle. Achoo! I sneezed, and in an instant, I was a frog again. Too horrified to move, I was still sprawled on the forest floor when Edric barreled into me. He was a frog too, of course, but even worse, he no longer had Ferdy.
What have you done? I've lost Ferdy. I needed that sword to defend us. I couldn't help it, I wailed. I didn't sneeze on purpose.
While the spider looked around in confusion, we hopped under a large fern, hoping that the monster would pass us by. A dry twig snapped. Suddenly, the fern quivered and was gone, yanked out of the ground. Ah-ha! Said the spider, looming above us, its multiple eyes gleaming with malice.
I thought I saw you go in there.
Hop! Shouted Edric.
We leaped straight ahead, directly under the spider's belly, while its hairy legs skittered around us. A dark blue, foul-smelling fluid dripped from a wound in the spider's underside, and we took an extra second or two to hop around the splashing puddle. The spider staggered as it turned to follow, shrieking high-pitched notes that hurt my eardrums.
You come back here, screamed the spider. You can't get away with this. No one does this to me and lives.
With all its legs, the spider could easily have overtaken us, but its lopsided gait sent it careening off tree trunks and stumbling over the uneven ground. We hopped around fallen branches, and when our path lay straight before us, we leaped in ground-eating bounds. Edric was a better hopper and could have left me behind if he'd wanted to, but he stayed by my side, encouraging me when I began to tire.
I wish I had Ferdy, said Edric, who wasn't the least bit out of breath. I was getting used to him. He's a good sword.
We'll come back for him when we change again.
The spider was persistent, staying on our trail no matter how we dodged and circled. Every few minutes, I looked back over my shoulder, hoping I wouldn't see it, but the spider was always there.
If I could make up a spell, I thought,
but all I could come up with were some silly rhymes using spider and beside her, which I didn't like at all. When the ground began to shake again, and I stumbled and fell, I thought it was just my usual clumsiness. But the ground was still shaking as I got back on my feet. Suddenly, I had an idea.
Head for the giant's trench, I shouted to Edric.
Are you crazy? That's the last place we should go. We don't have any way to defend ourselves.
That's exactly why we're going there, I said.
The shaking ground had tripped the spider as well. When I glanced back, it was staggering to its feet, keening so loudly it made me cringe. I hurried on, bounding across the forest floor, ignoring the pain in my side and the burning in my lungs. When we finally reached the trench, another group of giants was already in sight, striding along their path. I looked back to make sure that the spider was still following us, but I needn't have bothered. Even the sight of the approaching giants wasn't enough to scare it away.
Emma, come back! Shouted Edric
as I put on a burst of speed and jumped past him, sailing down into the trench. When Edric jumped in after me, I didn't know if he wanted to drag me out or if he understood what I was planning to do and wanted to help, but either way it was enough to entice the spider to follow us into the trench. I headed straight toward the approaching giants whose slow, steady pace covered more ground in just a few minutes than it would have taken me hours to hop.
Emma! Shouted Edric.
But I didn't have time to talk. The spider had learned to compensate for its lost limbs and had started to pick up speed. I was hopping as fast as I could when I realized that with his next step, the first giant would be upon us.
Now!
I shouted to Edric. Spinning around, I tensed my muscles, then put all my strength into jumping out the other side of the trench. When I soared through the air with my legs extended, it felt almost like flying. I'd misjudged the distance and landed on the edge, my breath whooshing out of me. Using the last of my strength, I pulled myself onto level ground while Edric sailed past me in a graceful arc. Looking back at the trench, I saw that the spider was trying to follow us, its remaining legs scrabbling at the soil. With the ground shuddering wildly beneath our feet, Edric and I fell. The spider, who had climbed halfway up the side of the trench, fared even worse, tumbling down the crumbling dirt to land on its back. In an instant, the giant's foot came down with a loud splat. Trying to be inconspicuous, Edric and I stayed where we were until the giants had passed. Once they were gone, we crept to the edge and looked down. The spider was a blotch on the floor of the trench, its legs dark lines embedded in the dirt.
"Whatever made you think of coming here?" Edric asked.
"I couldn't think of a spell, so I tried to think of how I would kill a spider at home. Stepping on it seemed like the best idea."
"Good thinking. Except for one thing. You could have been killed."
"I guess," I said, shivering at the thought.
"Good going," said a strange voice. "That spider got just what it deserved."
I looked around, but there wasn't anyone in sight.
"Who was that?" I asked.
"I'm Ralph," said the voice.
And the little dragon popped his head out from behind a tree trunk, a crumpled violet dangling from his mouth.
"I wanted to thank you for helping me. If you hadn't come along, I'd probably be spider food by now."
Edric smiled.
"Glad we could help."
Ralph swallowed the flower, flapped his wings, and rose into the air, creating a small gale that whipped the leaves on the trees nearby. Edric and I had to grab each other's arms and leaned into the wind to keep from being blown to the ground.
"I saw you turn into frogs," said Ralph, landing beside us. "That was really something. What else can you change into?"
I coughed and wiped my eyes with the back of my hand. "Nothing. That was it."
"Oh,"
said Ralph, looking disappointed. Then his eyes brightened as if he'd thought of something else.
"You're not were-frogs, are you? I've heard of werewolves, but I've never heard of were-frogs."
"No, we're just having a problem with a spell. I'm Emma, and I'm a witch in training. This is my friend, Edric."
"Pleased to meet you,"
Ralph said, nodding to us one at a time.
"You were both awfully brave. I was really scared when I got caught in that web, but you two weren't frightened at all, even when the spider was chasing you."
"Maybe we didn't look scared, but I was terrified," I said. "I was hopping as fast as I could, and it still didn't feel fast enough."
"Tell me something," said the little dragon. "If you're not where anything, why are you here? This is a very dangerous place, especially for humans."
"We're looking for a few things," said Edric. "A green dragon and the feather from an old horse. You haven't seen any green dragons around, have you?"
Ralph frowned.
"I don't know any green dragons. How about yellow?"
"It has to be green," I said, shaking my head. "We're trying to reverse a spell. It's very important."
"You should ask my grandfather. He's the king, so he knows all the dragons. I can take you to see him if you'd like."
"He won't want to eat us, will he?" I asked.
"Maybe if you were humans, but dragons don't eat frogs. Anyway, you saved my life, and you're my friends now, so he'll want to meet you. Hop on."
"Hop on where?"
Edric said, looking at the dragon as if he was a horse. Ralph squatted and let his wings droop.
"My back. Grandfather lives in a cave at the base of the Purple Mountains. It's a long way from here."
I cringed, mindful of my tender frog skin. "We can't. Your scales are too rough."
"Not at the base of my neck. There's a little gap in my ridge where you'll fit if one of you sits behind the other. It's smooth there, and you won't get hurt."
I had never heard of riding a dragon, and after our experience with the magic carpet, I wasn't sure either of us wanted to fly anywhere. But we had only one day left and needed the dragon's breath. "I'll climb on his back if you will," I said to Edric, pointing at Ralph's wing. Edric grasped two knobs where the wing bones met and began to pull himself up.
"What about Ferdy? I should go see if he's all right."
I followed, watching to see where he placed his feet. "You're a frog now. You couldn't lift him anyway." Grunting, Edric heaved himself onto Ralph's back.
"Then we have to look for him after we've seen Ralph's grandfather."
"You wouldn't mind taking me, would you, Ralph? I left my sword near the spider's web."
"I'd be happy to, Edric,"
said Ralph. I grabbed hold of his ridge when the little dragon stiffened his wings and began to flap. Edric wrapped his arms around me as he whispered into my eardrum, his voice so soft that I could barely hear it over the swish of the dragon's wings.
What do you think of Ralph?
I like him.
So do I, said Edric. And I never thought I'd meet a dragon that I liked. I just wish we weren't going to meet Ralph's grandfather. We're frogs, and I don't have any way to protect us.
You heard what Ralph said. Dragons don't eat frogs. We should be fine. Tell me something. What would you have said if someone had told you a few weeks ago that you soon would be riding on a dragon's back with a princess in your arms?
I felt Edric shrug. I'd have asked her name. A few weeks ago, I was looking for a princess to kiss. I never imagined I'd be lucky enough to find you. I sighed and settled back against his chest. For a frog who could be all too thick-headed, Edric could be awfully sweet sometimes.